Good evening.
Hello there.
It's the HRV, David.
It is indeed.
We're here again.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to the HRV Hour. It's on 97.2 FM, Radio Reverb, on this Thursday evening. David, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I've been enjoying the sunshine we've had the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's a bit up and down, so it's quite mild for the time of year.
Apparently we've got a cold snap coming. I was checking to somebody who works for the water board, and they're on blizzard watch.
What, for the south?
South, yeah.
South.
So in the next week, expect it to get cooler.
I think we need it, though.
Yeah, anyway, that's the weather by the HIV hour.
Yes, it is. We maybe need a weather person to do the HIV hour weather.
Are you volunteering?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so welcome to the show. We've got a few interviews today, haven't we?
We've got a fun, packed-filled show, haven't we?
Yes. Would you like to enlighten our listeners?
Yeah, so we have an interview with Flash, and Flash has been on the show before with his partner Emrys, and he's talking about his Cycle for Checkpoint cycle event, which took place in Grand Canaria.
Brilliant.
Yeah, we have World and Community News, of course, which we have in every show. We have an interview with our lovely Sue and Philip Bragg from Terence Higgins Trust Brighton to talk about the National HIV Testing Week, which is a really important week in the HIV calendar. And we have an interview that you pre-recorded with Alf Lafloic, who has curated an exhibition at Brighton Museum.
Yeah, that's,
so I look forward to hearing about that.
It's all started that, hasn't it? So, yeah, good to listen to that.
Yeah.
Well, before we start, what have you been up to this week?
What have I been up to?
Yes.
You asked me that. My mind goes blank. I forget. No, so I did. I funnily enough, I entered a pub quiz last week.
Oh yes, of course.
And my team won.
We were the team of the century, weren't we?
We were. Yes. Yeah. We didn't even know we'd won until we had the last name, and it was a surprise to all of us.
We thought we'd missed the our names because we thought, all I thought was
we were the Daffodils.
Daffodils. Yeah. But we won, and we were shocked.
Yeah, and it was a charity pub quiz, and that raised money for the Sussex Beacon. So I don't know how much money they raised, but there was no entry fee. But I think we all put our hands
put
in
money
our
in a bucket. Didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
it's all go for good cause.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll go to help those people that Sussex Beacon Services provide.
Yeah, brilliant. So we're going to get on with the show. We're going to play now. This is a request, isn't it, from someone?
So this is a request. So we love hearing from our listeners, and you can always contact us on info@hivhour.org.uk. And we had a lovely message from Glenn saying how much he enjoyed our recent episode with Simon Madrell and the poetry that Simon read out. And so Glenn has requested a song by Tom Grennan. This is Full Attention, and this is dedicated to his husband, Keir.
Brilliant. See you on the other side.
Wow, Full Attention by Tom Grennan. And thank you for your attention, listeners, and thank you for listening to the show. Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio. And don't forget, if you go to our website at radioreverb.com, you can listen to our wonderful podcast as well. We are really proud to be sponsored by Jack Russell Technologies, and the station is sponsored by Wave Community Bank. You can email us at info@hivhour.org.uk.
Well done, David.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. So we've got a great guest in. He's been on the show. They've been on the show before. And Flash, how are you doing?
Hi, thank you for having me, John.
You're welcome.
Very relaxed over there.
Very relaxed, yes. I'm doing very well.
Great.
And you've got something to be proud of. You were showing us off your wares. Well, not wares, but were you wearing them?
So since Emrys and I last came on the show, we were both elected joint puppy Grand Canaria, myself.
Yeah.
And Josh, Emrys is fetish Grand Canaria 2025.
Wow!
So it's been a bit of a whirlwind. We've been afforded a great honour by the community, and we're trying to do right by them. Mm.
So what does that entail then?
So a lot of the time it's trying to visibility, educating the public, trying to do right by the title and the community that gave it to us.
Yeah.
So like one of the things that Emrys and I did again this year is we did a very crazy cycle.
Yes.
And we last year we cycled around the outside of the island,
How far is that?
Last year was just shy of 165 kilometres, I think.
Right, yeah.
170 kilometres. We did it again this year, but instead of going around the outside of the island, we thought, hey, we need a challenge. So we went through the middle of the island, up to the top of the crater, basically.
Yeah, big volcano.
Yeah, it was like 2,500-metre ascent for the first half of distance on the first day.
Oh,
that's a lot, isn't it? Wow. And you've got the weather as well, haven't you? The heat.
The sun
gets cooler as you go up, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you get to the top of the mountain, like you actually start cycling through clouds. It's raining. It's like 10 degrees plus the wind chill when you're going down the hills of the bike.
Of course, yeah.
And you're just like there in your cycling lycra, and it is freezing cold.
Yeah, I bet.
So what's it for then? So it's checkpoint...
Checkpoint is, yes, we're cycling for Checkpoint, Checkpoint Canaries. It's a HIV-STD charity. They do rapid testing for STDs, HIV. Unfortunately, well, they're mainly supported by the community. They do bucket rattling once a week. They've now got several organizations who are on board as sponsors. Right. And Emrys and I are trying to help by... doing the cycle and then continuing to fundraise all through the year for them.
Yeah, so the title that you have of it's not just for fun, is it? It's a responsibility to sort of, you know, raise awareness of that. And you said something about this, if somebody goes for an HIV test in the Canaries.
Yeah, so if you go for a test in HIV test in the Canaries, sometimes the family doctor is at liberty to tell your parents. So it's not really that... It's not really that safe from your anonymity.
Yeah.
So Checkpoint is completely anonymous. You don't have to give them your real name. Once the test comes back as positive, if you want, they are now able to share that information with your family doctor so you can get treatment as fast as possible. If you're a tourist, then they can, if you want, share your details with a private clinic so you can get treatment there and then.
That's great that it's not just for local people, it's for tourists as well. And the Canaries attracts millions of tourists, doesn't it?
So many different cultures there. The numerous times that...
Languages as well.
It's such a hodgepodge, and it's... the more you go there, the more you realize, like, it's your chosen family. All the bar staff, like, get to know you. They're very friendly. The regulars who live there, the locals, when you get to know them, it's like, it is such a nice community feel on the island.
Lovely. So the cycle ride. So you went up a volcano. Was that one of the highlights for you? was it coming down? Coming down.
I'd say coming down was the best.
there were a lot of highlights. On the main highlight for me was one of the main highlights was not almost kissing a cliff face this year.
Oh,
yeah. The dangers will be quite a lot, won't they?
Yeah.
Last year I came off the bike. This year the extent was like a paper cut. So progress.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
But no, like one of the main highlights was like, I'm going to get a bit soppy here.
Yeah, cool.
Be soppy, it's fine.
Like one of the main highlights is like that. There is someone who came to me with a batshit crazy idea of let's go and cycle around Grand Canary and raise money for Checkpoint. And... just saying, like, you know what, yes, let's go and do this.
Yeah.
And realized, like, it challenged us a lot. Mm. And I'm very lucky to have Emrys there by my side. He understands me so well. And he's like, yes, let's go and do these stupid, crazy things that challenge us.
Yeah.
And we support each other through it. And it's like, and that push, supporting ourselves through that is like one of the main things that we're doing this for Checkpoint is like, it's community. Both of us care a lot about it. And coming from South Africa, where access to treatment and wasn't as easy as most back where when. Being able to support that in some way in a community that's so multinational and affects so many people is so rewarding.
We forget, don't we, because we live in Brighton that's got a lot of HIV services and support, but we forget that other places don't.
And living in the UK, we're protected by law under the sort of, if you go for a sexual health test and that you can be completely anonymous, but you know, it's not necessarily the case in other countries, is it?
Yeah, it's so disclosure, it is isn't it? Mm. It's what you want to disclose.
And you know, being able to choose whether that your information is shared is quite valuable to you, isn't it? Because it's your information to share. It's not for somebody else to share.
How much did you raise them? Do you know? Yeah.
Last time I checked, a few days ago, we totaled €2,425. At the same point last year, we were at €1,300.
Right.
So message is getting further. More people are being made aware of checkpoints and wanting to help support.
Yeah.
So like that money can go towards like 2,425-ish HIV test kits or 242 complete sets of testing material.
Yeah.
So it all helps. They've also now got their own sponsors and people who are supporting them through their own things. So there's La Caixa, Iconic, Boxer, Buddies, Bear Carnival, Can Canaria, Factory, Maspalomas Gay, Massage. Eiffel, I'm probably going to forget because I don't know all of them at my head.
Yeah.
But
it's great that like the community is now supporting a service within the community.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
And having them on board like just amplifies things so much more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it just in Gran Canaria or are there other checkpoints in Europe?
So there are other checkpoints around Europe. Like when I was in Bratislava at the end of last year, there was a checkpoint stand and like sent a photo to Jim, Checkpoint Maspalomas, Gran Canaria. I'm like, hey, cool, look what I found. He's like, yeah, they're all over Europe. So it's nice that there's like
that support system in a big area, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's we're quite early in 2026.
Yes.
Have you got any plans other than you know continuing you know raising awareness and raising money? Are there any events that you've got in mind or you've talked to Emrys about that you might consider doing?
So I'm finally recovered from a running injury.
I'm
starting up my marathons again this year. I'm doing.
God, yeah.
yes, Josh, I'm starting my running again.
God. I didn't mean old God like that.
short shorts on the seafront, yes, please. So I'm doing Barcelona Marathon, Brighton Marathon, of course, representing, and Reykjavik Marathon. And I'm potentially looking at a fourth one later in the year. And then Emrys and I might be doing a cycle one weekend here in the UK a long, silly distance, just because why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Have we got any volcanoes we can use?
No.
Pendle Hill. You've got Pendle Hill in Lancashire. That's not a volcano.
That's quite steep.
It's got a steep side.
Yeah.
What's that for then, the running?
So it's still going to continue the fundraising that Emrys and I are doing for Checkpoint.
Okay,
so
great.
Even though like the main burst of it was the cycle at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Through the year, we're still going to do small things like there's a couple of raffles we're going to try and run and cycles and runs and things.
Yeah, well done. So if people want to donate, where can they donate money to?
So there is a Bitly link, which is bit.ly/Emrys /FLASH and people then can donate directly to the fundraiser for Checkpoint.
Oh, great. Fantastic. Thank you.
And one last thing before you go, actually, you're also hosting at the Bears at the Fallen Angel.
Oh, yes. So on Saturday night, terribly sorry, I forgot about that.
So because I'm involved as well.
I'm hosting Bears at the Angel on Saturday night.
Yes.
Bears at are having a charity fundraiser in aid of Checkpoint. So grateful for that.
So it brings it to Brighton.
Yes,
as well as yourself, of course. Yes. Yeah.
So do come along, actually. It's a good night, actually, isn't it?
Josh is on the decks.
Fingers crossed. Last time didn't go very well, but anyway, yes. Hopefully. So thanks, Flash, for coming on. It's so interesting to have an update of last time.
For everything you've done for the Checkpoint and way it continue.
I thought we'd play a relevant song, which it's Bicycle Race by Queen. Thanks, Flash.
Thank you.
Cheers. I want to ride my
bicycle. Wave Community Bank proudly sponsors Radio Reverb. Savings and loans for people, not profit.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM and RadioReverb.com. So in the studio with me is a great friend. He's been on in the show before. It's Alf LaFloic.
Yes, I got that right.
You said it right.
Oh, thank God for that, Alf. Who's coming to talk about an upcoming exhibition, which actually has probably started already, actually, hasn't it, Alf? Because it's the 7th. Yeah, it started on the 31st of January, didn't it?
31st, so it's in there now.
So, yeah, Alf's doing an exhibition. And what's it called, Alf?
It's called the Sussex Lancers Tailor-Made Leather Lovers.
Oh, my God, that sounds amazing. So could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and then we can talk about the exhibition?
Sure. I've been in Brighton a long time, probably as long as you have,
yes,
Josh.
Yes. I came when I was 2.
You beat me. Okay.
No, not really.
So I've been in Brighton a long time, since the end of the 80s, really. And
yeah, like me, actually.
The Sussex Lancers, who were Brighton's gay leather bikers. So they were a biker group, merged with other men who just like dressing up in leather, and their friends. And they ran for about 20 years, from 1980 to 2000, but they were started by Ken Burton, who was a tailor, had a shop in Bond Street.
That's very interesting, this, actually. When
about it. They were... I found mention of... So it was Phil and Ken, and the shop was called Phil Ken Casuals, which you have to say carefully.
Yes.
And I found an early reference to them. I happened to be reading A History of Men's Underwear.
As you do.
And in there, it was a reference to them being the most notorious tailors outside of London in the 50s and 60s.
Wow.
So they were producing custom-made menswear, kind of snug European menswear would be how they described it.
Yes.
So basically very modern stuff and quite racy, definitely for the 60s.
Yeah.
And Ken Burton is a very good tailor and specializes in leather. So he ends up with kind of a sideline, so that they're a couple.
Right.
And Ken ends up with a sideline of customers who want leather work done. So when they spend too much money and the business goes bust.
Right.
But they end up in Lancing, which is where Ken's parents were living, in a little bungalow.
Oh, yes.
Yep, cute.
We all do that.
Yep. That's all in our future, isn't it?
I'm there already.
Oh, yeah, you're in.
On the other side.
Yes, yeah. Yep. I forgot what I was going to say now.
Sorry. digress.
So, so they both, well, we know that Ken liked his bikes as well.
Yeah.
So he and a bunch of mates would go out, kind of his leather customers. They would all go out riding in the kind of Sussex area. Wow. And they decided to kind of become a group called the Sussex Lancers. They formed... I mean, these days you probably wouldn't bother, but back then it was much harder to actually meet other gay men who were interested in leatherware or fetish wear, but also, you know, just gay mates who liked going out on motorbike rides.
They used to go down to the Brighton cafes, didn't they? And mingle with.
Yeah, they did.
Heterosexual
bikers. Yeah. They used to hang out with all the kind of local biker groups, and. So, in the end, they end up forming the Sussex Lancers. That's the start of the story from Notorious Tailors. And then there's 20 years of them motorcycling, riding around Sussex, dressed in leather, messing about with each other, going up to the South Downs, going for tea in Amberley. But they also used to kind of have more kind of racy kind of club nights.
Right,
They were famous for one known as Rip and Strip, where basically you wore old clothing and if anybody liked the look of you, they could just rip your clothes off.
That's right, good at that. I should bring that one back.
But you do have to remember to bring other clothes with you to go home in.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Not on a cold night.
No.
Probably not. Windy.
Yeah, probably not in January.
No.
No. So the exhibition is a companion exhibition to the Gender Stories exhibition, which opens at the same time. So that's 31st of January. and goes until the 12th of April. And that's a touring exhibition that's been in Bristol and is going on to Liverpool, I think.
Right.
But it's spending some time in Brighton because it's a piece between three museums. And that's all kind of theories around gender. And that's really interesting. I saw it in Bristol. And they asked, Brighton Museum asked me if I had anything that was kind of gender related. And I didn't really see the Lancers as gender, but actually it's a presentation of masculinity, gender discussions around gender are often focus on women or people on the boundaries of gender, and it's quite, I think it's quite unusual to have one that's about men, but it's positive, if you see what I mean.
And the story is to be told, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
The story out there, isn't
yeah,
it?
So, yeah. Yeah. So there were some great photos. There's actually very little leather. There's almost right. no leather in the actual exhibition, right. Mainly because it rots. But there's lots of photos of men in leather. There's a T-shirt and a mug. if you like your crockery, there's a mug.
All the people are definitely going for the mug.
Yes.
So Anthony Edwards was... is part of it as well, isn't it?
Yes. So I wanted to, as well as telling the story of like the leather scene in the 80s and 90s, I wanted to make the point that this wasn't just a fad or a look that was popular then, that it's actually still popular now.
Yeah.
And it's actually seen a resurgence in the last decade, really. And I know Anthony Edwards, who's a local photographer, and he's been taking wonderful photos of Leathermen South,
yes,
who are the local leather group meeting at the Bulldog.
That's been quite a while, hasn't it? That's been well over 10 years now, isn't it?
2014 they started, yeah.
So that's amazing, really. And that's at the Bulldog, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. So he's got some great photos of those. So the exhibition is like a horseshoe kind of shape, and in the middle there's an island. So he's got the island in the middle with his kind of contemporary photos.
Yeah.
So I've got vintage leather around the outside and then your box fresh gear in the middle.
Right. And people can just stroll around. And,
yep.
So how did it impact, how did the AIDS epidemic impact the Lancers?
Well, yeah, the tale of the Lancers being in the 80s and 90s obviously was quite significantly impacted by HIV and AIDS. When I was thinking about the exhibition, I knew there was the Taylor story at the beginning.
Yeah.
Then there was all the great photos of them messing about in Sussex. And then there's quite a sad ending where the archive is burnt. So they had an actual archive, which they gave to Brighton Our Story, which is Brighton's LGB history group. Well, it was. And they gave it back to them. And unsurprisingly, they thought no one was interested. So they... having held onto it for a few years, they just burnt it. That was one of my motivations to actually do this exhibition, was to pull together as many photos and stuff as I could get my hands on while there was still time. Another part of the story was the impact of HIV and AIDS.
Yes.
I also talk about Operation Spanner a bit, which was legislation that was applied particularly to gay men about kind of consensual BDSM relationships.
Right.
But the HIV story, I knew it was it was obviously important, but I didn't want... I've done it on a side piece, so because I didn't want people to dwell on the relationship between HIV and AIDS and the Lancers.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah.
So I wanted, because the Lancer story is basically quite joyful, so I wanted to dedicate a piece to the kind of HIV AIDS experience. So there are six text panels in the museum, and one of them is just called Tough Times.
Right.
And it's quotes about the HIV rate in Brighton, then a quote from Alan Spink, who works at the Beacon.
Yeah, he comes on the show. He's been on the show a couple of times.
Yeah, he was a Lancer. And I had a really difficult question to ask him because I interviewed him like a few years back about the Lancers. And one of the quotes from him was that he started a list of the people that he knew were dying, and he stopped when he got to 72. Yeah, and that's a really powerful quote in its own right.
Yes.
But I just, I wanted to go a bit further, and I had a really tough decision of whether to ask him, but I did. I asked him to actually write that list again of 72 names, which he obviously found really difficult, but he said it was nice remembering people and going back through old photos and thinking about them, and, you know, people live through our memories of them.
It was quite cathartic.
Yes, I think he found it a positive experience, but very, you know, intense and emotional. Yeah. But I'm so grateful to him for that. And then there's a photo of Peter Shapcott, who's living in London now, but it was him and his boyfriend, and it was taken by the Argus, and it's in 1992 World AIDS Day vigil,
right,
down on the old Steen. And his boyfriend Sebastian is looking unwell and is obviously seated in a chair or in a wheelchair, and he died a week after that photo. But it's such a lovely photo, and the pair of them feature in the exhibition, before that. Yeah. I want to dedicate it to space because that was for any gay men and other people, but gay men in Brighton in the 80s and 90s, I didn't want it to be tied to the Lancers. It was almost everybody's experience of gay men at that point in time.
Yeah. The Lancers did like work for, they did charity work, didn't they?
Yes, yeah. In a kind of slightly surprising connection, Father Marcus Riggs, who started Open Door with his boyfriend Keith Simmons,
yes.
Keith was a Lancer. And when I first met them both, they were, you know, I was introduced to Father Marcus, this man dressed head to toe in leather. Obviously. He didn't have his dog collar at that point. But there were jokes about what he wore under his cassock when he did mass. Because he... he was lovely. He was the priest at St. Peter's Church.
Yeah.
So the end of the 80s, he was doing a lot of AIDS-related, HIV-related outreach work, and he and Keith set up Open Door, providing support and advice and food and stuff.
Yeah.
So the Lancers, you know, it was obviously impacting them personally, but also having this personal connection to Father Marcus. They did charity work, and the recipients of that money was Open Door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if people want to come and see the exhibition, can you give them the details?
Sure, yeah. I think it's brightonmuseum.org.uk if you want to read a bit more about it.
Yeah.
But it's on from the 31st of January to the 12th of April. And I've just produced... I've just been flashing it to Josh.
Yeah, it looks great. You put it back now.
I put it away. But I've produced a little zine.
Is that what you call it now? Zine.
Yes. Well, mine's big, so it's a magazine.
A magazine.
Yeah. So my magazine will be on sale in the bookshop.
Right.
Not the bookshop. The shop associated with the museum.
Right.
And also will some of Anthony's photographs. He's done them as postcards, so they'll be available for people
Brilliant.
To buy.
And there's I've done a helped you as well, haven't I? I've done a playlist for
yes,
you.
Oh, yes, yes.
How does it work? So I've done a playlist, listeners, to, as you walk around the exhibition, you can listen to songs that kind of relate to that time and that energy, isn't it?
Yeah. I made him call it Slapping Leather.
Yeah, Slapping Leather.
But it's a great Spotify playlist.
Yes. So people can just go on the barcode, can't they, and listen to it.
Yeah, so we'll be promoting that in the next couple of weeks. And just the idea was that if you go on your own, it'd be quite nice to actually be listening to music that was appropriate for the time while you're wandering around or with friends just that you don't want to talk to, you know.
You might not want to talk to
anybody. So, and you were very kind and said yes, you would. So thank you very much.
Yeah, it's been interesting doing that actually because it's trying to emulate that kind of atmosphere and that kind of thing. So it's been interesting to work out. So thanks for asking me.
My pleasure.
And are you having a night to...
The museum is having a launch night with the Gender Stories called A Queer Night in the Museum.
Yeah.
It's already sold out.
Right.
But it's a bit unusual in that they're having the launch event a week after it's opened, but it's on the 6th of February in case you want to see if you can get any return tickets or something. But Queer Heritage South, who do great history clubs and stuff, have organised a queer night at the museum on the 6th of February as the opening night of. So I'll be doing, if you have got a ticket for that, I'll see you there.
Yeah.
And I'll be doing.
It's a Friday night, isn't it?
So they'll be opening the museum late and have the shop open. And there'll be all sorts of wild and wonderful kind of arty things going on and performance and stuff. And I'll be doing tours of the exhibition. So you can come and kind of.
Are you dressed in leather? Leather hat.
No.
Well, you're dressed in leather today, so.
Shh. You said this jock looked all right.
No, I really appreciate you coming on. And good luck with the exhibition. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Thank you very much.
I just want to say, actually, if you're interested in going to the Leather Man South, it's the second Saturday of the month at the Bulldog on St. James Street, isn't it?
Actually, Anthony and I are trying to arrange with the Bulldog, if you're listening, to do a kind of a digital exhibition one evening that Leather Man South are meeting, so that on the screens that we'll have some kind of old images of the Lancers and some of Anthony's great images of the Leathermen South, kind of one after the other.
That's brilliant.
So hopefully that'll happen.
Yeah, it's a great place to do it because Bulldog's the oldest gay pub in Brighton, isn't it? So it's kind of works well, doesn't it? Alf, thank you very much. I can't wait to see the exhibition and so I'll come on again.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Cheers. You're choosing a record, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Which will be on the playlist.
Yes.
Do you want to just tell our listeners what it is?
It's Passion by the Flirts. And
very high energy, isn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't so much remind me of the Lancers, but it does remind me, because I grew up in Southampton and used to go to the only gay club there, which was the Magnum, which was very old style, dark venue. There'd be,
I love all that.
Yeah, there would be like pictures of drag acts up the wall as you went the stairs upstairs. Yeah. It was all very basic. Well, sorry, owners of the Magnum, but it was it was such an education for someone who'd never been in that kind of space before. It's like your when you go to your first venue like that, and you meet your people. You never forget it really,
with you, doesn't it? That?
Yeah, and that was one of the songs that they used to play, and it just goes around my head sometimes.
To it. The Passion by the Flirts. Thank you, Al.
Thank you.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news, and views on living positively with the virus.
Oh, that was Passion by the Flirts. Welcome back to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio. You can visit the station's website at radioreverb.com, and our this very own show has our own little website called hivhour.org.uk, and you can email us at info@hivhour.org.uk, and we do love hearing from our listeners, don't we?
Yeah, and we also like, because of the podcast we have that goes around the world, we just want to say thank you for people who are in different countries or countries that don't have this kind of.
Yes, yeah, we do. We literally have downloads from the podcast for all over the world, places like Saudi Arabia, from China, from Pakistan, lots in different cities in America.
Loads in America, so we thank you for listening and keep listening, and always contact us on our website if you want to talk about anything.
Yeah, if you've got a request for a song and dedication like we had at the beginning of the show. In fact, we've got a request for you, dear listeners, don't we? We would like you to send us some questions or problems that you have that you would like to be solved by what will be our very first agony aunt.
Should have a little tune.
A jingle.
I'll just make a little jingle for that.
Yeah. And you can ask the question to agony uncles as well.
Yeah, so any questions about HIV that you might concerned about, or you want to know anything really?
So this could be treatment related, it could be about testing, it could be about planning a family, journey through motherhood, through immigration, to all sorts of things, all the different aspects that HIV affects our lives.
So when's that going to start then, David?
So that will be starting for International Women's Day. So that's why we're having it as an agony aunt to begin with. And the lovely Empress, who we've had on the show before,
yes.
She will be the official agony aunt. And she gets letters from, well, messages online on through social media from people that she's helped in the past. And she gets... particularly people from Africa that want to know about, you know, is it safe to breastfeed my baby and stuff like that? Because they don't, they lack some of information in certain areas of the world, don't they? So she'd like to sort of answer those sort of most commonly asked questions and even rarely asked questions. The reason why we want people to send in their ideas in advance is that we want to be able to give you the right answers.
Yeah, yeah.
So we will research. If we don't know the answers, or the Empress doesn't know the answers, then we will speak to health professionals and get, or, you know, service providers and make sure we're getting the right information to you out there, wherever you may be.
Yeah, it's always good to get that information, and also just having somebody in to talk about that is good.
Yeah.
I think it'll probably develop as it goes on, won't it? Because
yes.
Like we're talking about how can people get their questions in apart from doing email. Mm. But that will.
Yeah, and certainly if we're getting sort of questions, lots of different questions about similar topics, then that's maybe something we can focus a whole show on.
Yeah.
So, no, this show is about you, the audience, and living with HIV. So, you know, we are part, you know, us presenters, we are part of that audience. And we do hope that we provide things that you find interesting. But please do get in touch with us and let us know your questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So, a bit of community news. There's another recording, we did a pre-record, but next week is international, it's not. I keep getting that international independent. It's HIV testing week.
It is, yes.
National.
It is. I wonder where you're going with that.
Not international, yes. It's national.
Yes, it's national, yes.
Well, Sue talked to
Philip Bragg
from the Terence Higgins Trust. So shall we have a quick listen to that?
Yes.
Hello, if you've just joined us on the HIV Hour, we've got an amazing event, an important event, starting, I believe, and I know Philip will correct me if I'm wrong, on the 9th of February, we've got National HIV Testing Week. We've got Philip Bragg from Brighton. He's going to come in a minute and tell us what he does at the Terence Higgins Trust in Brighton and telling us about the amazing event that's starting on the 9th of February. Hi there, Phil. Nice to see you.
Good to see you too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always exciting this time of the year. I mean, I don't know about you, if I had my way, we'd have National HIV Testing Week every week, wouldn't we?
Well, I think for a lot of HIV charities, every week is National HIV Testing
Week. Exactly.
It's not like we stop.
Exactly.
We're all year round. But yeah, Testing Week is a really good opportunity to promote testing and all the different opportunities there are for people to get tested, really. So,
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about it before we came online, and I'm thinking, I mean, every year is important because we're really sort of, you know, we're maxed up the advertising, we're shouting, we're screaming. What do you think is most important this year of testing? What do you think is really triggering us to really, really get around to as many people as possible?
I think people know that Terence Higgins Trust has been campaigning for zero HIV transmissions by 2030. And possibly we're not going to reach it by 2030, but it gives us something to work towards, definitely. And so the main message for Testing Week is there are so many different ways that people can get tested and access tests. It's not just about going to a sexual health clinic. And one of the main messages of Testing Week is to just go online and order a free HIV test kit, which can be delivered to your home. And then you have two options. You can either do a test kit, which will give you the result there and then, or you can do a sampling kit, which is a kit that you send off, and then you get the results by text or by phone call. So we want people to go online, go to startswithme.org.uk, fill in some basic demographic details, and you'll get a free test posted to you.
Can people still come into Ship Street to take a test on that?
Yes.
Right, that
so,
week?
Terence Higgins Trust in Brighton is based on Ship Street, which is just off the seafront, and we have a testing clinic in-house, so that is open Monday to Friday, 10 till 5, and recently we've just started a late-night Tuesday clinic, which runs from 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. Anyone can access that clinic. You can walk in, you can book online, you can give us a call. Testing appointments are no longer than half an hour, and what you get in that appointment is a rapid HIV and syphilis test where you get the results in a few minutes. And we can also screen you for two of the most common infections, chlamydia and gonorrhea, and you get those results by text. It takes about 2 weeks. So it's a really good, free, fast, confidential service. Mm-hmm. And we also run a PrEP clinic twice a week on Monday afternoons and Thursday afternoons. So you can go onto our website and book in for whatever you think you need, really.
I know this is a silly question, and I get people asking me all the time that I've never ever tested for HIV, and I'm shocked at the fact of that. But they say, "Oh, does it hurt, Sue?" I know it's a silly question. Does it hurt?
No, it doesn't hurt. The tests that we do at Terence Higgins Trust, and we use the same tests in clinic, but also in our outreach work as well. It is a finger prick, and we take one drop of blood, and the result comes through in a few minutes. So it's not what it once was. I think people have really kind of quite old-fashioned ideas about a huge needle and lots of
blood. Yeah, that's it. Oh, yeah.
And it's a finger prick. So, yes, it smarts a bit, but you'll soon get over it. It's only one drop of blood.
I mean, are there any communities? I mean, obviously, we want everyone to test because it's a really good thing. It's a positive. It's an empowering thing to do. But are we really shouting out to specific communities, come in to test if you're not testing, if you haven't tested for a while? Are we shouting out to anyone in particular this year?
I mean, I think National HIV Testing Week is a really good opportunity to kind of get to people that we don't usually get to. Exactly. And definitely over the last few years, who HIV is affecting is changing. Mm-hmm. So since 2020, more heterosexual people have been diagnosed with HIV than men who have sex with men. So it's also about changing the way that we work as HIV organizations, that we need to start thinking outside the box. We can't do what we've always done. We need to change as the people affecting the virus changes as well. So it's about going out to more kind of general population sites. So we offer testing in libraries, community centres, pharmacies, just trying to get out there as much as possible. And we don't need much to do an HIV testing session. We need a bit of privacy, a table and two chairs, and we'll bring everything else with us. So if there's anyone listening that works for an organisation that could accommodate that, then just get in touch with us in Brighton and we will see what we can do.
That's brilliant. So listen, Phil, if anyone wants to come into the office to test in Ship Street in Brighton, what are the times when you open? When can they come in if they decide they want to sit down and, you know, have a test with someone in the office?
So it's 10 till 5, Monday to Friday, 6 till 8 on Tuesday evenings. And people can walk in. We're busy, but we're never that busy. You might have to wait a little bit, but you will get seen. But the best thing to do, just to ensure you're going to get an appointment, is to go onto the tht.org.uk website, search for Brighton. You can book online there, or you can give the office a call, and we'll get you booked in. But, you know, if you have an appointment at 10 o'clock, you will be seen at 10 o'clock. It's not one of those situations where you make an appointment and then you're waiting for ages. You will be seen at the time of your appointment. We're very passionate about providing that good service.
And I think a great message to come there is that it's best to know and not to know, would you say? You know, maybe people have been thinking, I must take a HIV test, haven't taken a test for a while. Let's just get it done. It's best to know. Get rid of all that stress and anxiety if you're thinking maybe you could have taken an HIV test and you haven't for some reason. I think this is the time, you know, to empower people. Just get it done. Come in, Take a test, order one online, like you said. And in Brighton, we've got some of the amazing vending machines for test kits, haven't we, Philip? That we haven't even got them in London yet. So, everyone out there in Brighton and Hove, be very proud where we live. There's
I think,
machines,
yeah, because before I worked in Brighton, I worked in London, and I have to say, Brighton in terms of sexual health is absolutely, a beacon of outstanding practice. And
Absolutely.
we are the first city in the world to have HIV testing vending machines. And those vending machines are at both university student unions. They are at the Jubilee Library, at the Brighton Sauna, at Prowler on St James Street. All you have to do is put in your basic demographic details and get HIV tests. You can also get an STI test as well. But we are blessed in Brighton. We've got the amazing sexual health clinics at the Claude Nicole and at Morley Street. And we work really closely in partnership with the sexual health clinic so that we, as an organisation, know exactly what's going on in terms of sexual health in Brighton.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks ever so much, Phil. Always great to speak to you and all the great things the Terence Higgins Trust are doing in the prevention of HIV. Maybe we'll have a catch up, maybe a little sometime after, just to see how testing week went in Brighton. That'd be great.
Absolutely. We've got loads of outreach events happening as well. So if you are around the seafront on next Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday night, you can pop into our bar on the seafront. Our testing team will be there Tuesday,
Wow.
Wednesday, Thursday night from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m., offering free testing there as well.
Brilliant. Thanks ever so much, Phil. Take care and we'll speak to you soon. Thank you for coming on the
Thank you very
HIV.
much.
Thank
Cheers.
you.
And thank you to Sue and
Thanks
for organising that interview, and to Philip for a National HIV Testing Week, and that runs up to Valentine's Day, doesn't it? So it's quite timely
Yes, it's all next
to
week, isn't
if you
it?
want to have a romantic evening with your romantic whoever, then get tested first. It's always a good idea to know, isn't it?
I think so, definitely,
It
yes.
is, yeah.
Knowledge is power.
Indeed, it is, yeah. And as soon as getting some treatment, and you can't pass it on, which is great news. U equals
Absolutely.
U, undetectable. Equals untransmittable.
Yes. Sorry, David. We're coming to the end of the show, actually, David. It's
We
gone
are.
quick, hasn't it? It's gone.
So, yeah.
Yes. We've just got to say happy birthday to one of our team members.
Yes.
Mr. Stephen.
Yes, Stephen.
Happy
had a
birthday for
birthday.
yesterday.
Yeah. Oh.
We're going to play a track of his that he's recommended, so yeah.
In other national news, we have the British HIV Association's national conference, their spring conference. They have one in the autumn as well, but their spring conference will be in Liverpool from the 27th to the 29th of April. So if you go to bhiva.org, beaver.org, and there'll be details of all the different talks and the poster presentations and events that are happening throughout the whole conference, so it should be a good, and we hope to be there, don't we?
Yeah, fingers crossed. We
yeah
because it was Brighton last time, so it was quite
it was very
convenient.
Handy to have it on our doorstep, but not this time, but
it's always good
it's
to have
always
a
worth
presence there,
yeah, and it's the state of the art science.
Yeah, definitely. So we come to an end. We're going to play Stephen's track that he's dedicated, which is
yes
a cover of well, it's Whitney Houston and what's the guy called, sorry, I've forgotten. Let's have a look. Callum Scott, have you heard of him?
Callum Scott, I've heard the name.
Yeah, haven't it? So this is I Want to Dance with Somebody, so it's a nice track actually. So happy birthday, Stephen, and we'll see you all again
yes
next
soon.
time.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for you.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.